You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
When was the last time you were sports sad? I was sports sad Friday. 713-780-3776. 7535, U of H losing to Michigan on a buzzer beater a few years back. That was the Jordan Poole shot. Definitely would have went to at least the Elite Eight if that shot doesn't go in. Michigan lost in the national championship game that year. That was U of H had some heartbreakers, man. You have that. They've been cursed by injuries.
The injury thing brought back the whole injury last year to Sasser. When he kept trying to play, but he obviously wasn't himself, and it's like, man, they just can't catch a break.
Yeah, they've had some rough goes of it, unfortunate goes of it. 713-7, one year they'll break through. 713-780-3776. 1110 says, last time I was sports sad was yesterday afternoon when the Astros got swept at home by the Yankees in the season opener. Fair enough. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Mark, you're in the Hive with the Bees. When was the last time you were sports sad?
What's going on, fellas? How are y'all today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So I've had a lot of sad sports moments, but the biggest one and the last one that I ever remember was January 3rd, 1993. I don't know if y'all was around that time, but Bills versus Oilers.
Yeah. Have you stopped being sad since, Mark? Have you not, like, cared about sports since then?
It's pretty much, it's been devastating. Every time I, you know, especially when the Tennessee Titans put on the Oilers color, it reminded me of just that time and, you know, how I kept updating my dad's.
The point, though, Mark, is if you're a true sports fan, right, you've had to have at least a sports moment or two since then that might have had the same kind of impact.
Nothing that major. I mean, for the Oilers to be that good that year and just to have just that blow off, you know, to have the lead and just lose it like that, it was that's mine.
So, I got you, Mark. It's better to have loved and lost than to have
– Loved and lost.
Well, how does it go?
It's better to have loved and lost than have never loved at all.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Percy, what is your sports sad moment?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Percy?
Not much. I got two.
Okay.
When the U of H lost to North Carolina State on that that shot the last shot of the game.
Yeah, Derek Whitten.
And Dez Bryant catch no catch.
Oh, we still would have won the game. That's not that big of a deal.
Appreciate it, Percy. It wasn't a catch. It wasn't a catch.
I you know what? I was at the game, and I tell everybody.
Did you have a good angle?
Yeah, I did. It was right in front of me. I was in the end zone, and it was right in front of me. But with the extra point, they would have been up two. Rodgers with three timeouts with the ball needing a field goal at home. I'm fine.
The way the rule was written, then though, it wasn't a catch. Like it was clearly not a catch.
I mean, when you were there, you looked at it and you're like, oh my God, I don't know how that can't be a catch.
I don't know how you think you had a better view being there than us on television.
No, I'm not saying that. I said, no, that wasn't the question. You said, did you have a pretty good view of it?
I know.
And I did, but then they have the replay in the stadium that they kept bringing back. And I'm like, as a Packer fan, I got to be honest with you. That's a catch.
I didn't think so. UHNC State, that one was, I mean, I wasn't born yet, but that one going back was pretty awful.
So that's one of those when you talk about, like, there's certain ones that you're never going to not feel the same way, no matter how much time passes. Mm-hmm. Clyde got to the point where, especially during this time of the year, Clyde's like, I'm not doing any more interviews on the NC State game and the way it ended, because it obviously still affects those guys.
See, I thought they were going to play them in the regional final and redeem it.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I was sure that was going to happen, but it wasn't. 713-780-3776. When was the last time you were sports sad? Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, when was the last time you were sports sad?
What's going on, gentlemen? I have two.
All right.
January 19th, 2019. The famous no-call Rams versus Saints.
Oh, yeah.
And the second one was yesterday, especially while sitting behind a Yankees fan at the Roughnecks game where they lost 18-12 with a bunch of penalties and a bunch of turnovers. But you know, they'll bounce back. And next, Big C's Roughneck Blitz.
Big C, you said Roughnecks was your biggest sports sadness?
From a diehard Saints fan.
Get out of here.
The opener of a UFL game?
I appreciate the bit, but I'm not buying that,
no,
Big C.
I understand the Saints because I know how much you love them.
I can't believe that all you remember the date. Like, maybe the year? Like, I get the year, but the to the date? Like, are they Googling them before they call?
They have to be, because I can't tell you the date of the Stockton shot. I can't do the Damon Lillard shot. I can't do any of that date-wise.
I'm not even great with years. Like, even years I struggle with. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Mike, when was your biggest sports sad moment? Or your last one, rather?
Being a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, not only the Dez catch, no catch, but then the following year, we get Zeke and Dak. Same thing happens. We go and play the Packers, and they left Aaron Rodgers with 35 seconds left on the clock to run it down
thing.
The field.
It was just a beautiful thing.
Instead of Mason
thing,
Crosby like, to hit the game-winning field goal.
Mike, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. That pass on the sideline, one of the greatest playoff passes ever.
It's very therapeutic. I like what we're doing here. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Randolph, when was the last time you've been sports sad?
Randolph.
Yeah.
Yo, you're on.
1983, Boston Jemma versus NC State.
Man, we've had some rough ones, haven't we? Thank you, Randolph.
Yeah.
We had the Lorenzo Charles.
We had Jordan Poole.
We had the shed ankle injury.
And you had Man. And Sasser counts, right?
Sasser had a groin injury.
If Sasser's healthy, you guys got a good shot last year.
Yeah, they lost to Jordan in the finals. They lost to Ewing in the finals, Georgetown.
Oh yeah, 2 years in a row.
That was the 3 years. NC State. Yeah. I think Georgetown was year two, and then year three was the Jordan one.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
Man, one of these years. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line, Keith. When was the last time you were sports sad?
Sports sad moment about 10, 12 years ago. Ravens, Patriots in the playoffs when Billy Cundiff shanked the chip shot that would have tied the game following the Lee Evans drop touchdown pass. Devastating for a Ravens fan.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Evans is a Wisconsin all-timer.
Is he really?
Wide receiver.
I'm surprised Keith didn't want Billy Cundiff to take over Kyme Fairbairn's job in the NBA or the NFL
Keith
for the
might
Texans.
Pull someone like an ancient kicker or something, like Raul Alegre or Rafael Septian.
2851, is this your last sports sad or your worst? It's the last one. The most recent sports sad that you've had. What has been enough to make you sad? We're like, you're emotionally sad. 713-780-3776. Lots of people are saying the Yao Ming injuries.
Oh, boy.
I was devastated with that.
Yeah. The one in L.A., you just know, like you were talking about with U of H, you know if he doesn't go down in that Lakers series, you have them beat. And if you win that series, you play Denver in the Western Conference Finals, you're probably going to the Finals. That one was really tough. Plus, from all of our standpoint, we were wondering, could this be it?
Yeah, a lot of people
are scary.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying the Chris Paul hamstring.
I was going to say the Chris Paul hamstring, but that coincides with the 27 missed threes, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, because that was game seven. I'll be honest, like earlier with the Texans-Chiefs thing, like my expectations for the Texans were never that high. I was never emotionally invested in the James Harden Rockets. Like, I never liked them as much as I liked the Yao Ming Rockets. Obviously, the Hakeem Olajuwon Rockets. I mean, I wanted them to win, but I wasn't as emotionally invested with those Rockets as I were with Rocket eras in the past.
Look, working for the team, you're obviously emotionally invested no matter what, but it was so easy to love the Yao Ming Rockets. With T-Mac, with Shane Battier, we had a lot of great dudes on that team. It was tough when you saw them practice and you saw the stuff behind the scenes to see James kind of carry himself the way he did. And then when he did those things, it was like, it just added fuel to your fire of like not wanting to like that dude, even if you worked for the team. That's what made that tough. Because that Golden State series, when they were in the Western Conference Finals, I think it was 16, that Dwight Howard, if he doesn't hurt his knee in the first quarter of that game in Golden State, they're up 16 points. They look like they could really have control of that series. And then when they needed James the most, he set the record for turnovers in a game.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Battery Chuck says the 19 World Series. I would agree with that one. Specifically, a couple of texters mentioned the fly ball off the foul pole.
Oh, yeah.
Howie Kendrick dinking it off the right field foul pole, just barely catching the bottom of it. 713-780-3776.
Will Harris. And he was having a good year that year.
Great year. Great year. Hinch was criticized for using him. It wouldn't have been the third game in a row. It could have been the third game in a row, but it wasn't the third day in a row.
Instead of Cole.
There was a lot of
mishaps there that he's criticized for.
Grinke
going
was
to him,
dealing
taking
too.
Grinke out, yeah. Going to Harris after a lot of people thought he was fatigued, and then not using Cole. Yeah. Those were probably the three. 713-780, and you didn't win a home game in that series either. It was very much like the Ranger series. 713-780-3776. I think so. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Ryan, when was the last time you were sports sad?
Hey, sports, fellas.
Sports.
Yeah, sure, sports.
Yeah, sports to you. Anyways, you kind of took the wind out of my sails there. I was going to say the 2019 World Series. You see tired-ass Will Harrison there. Garrett Cole's ready to go. Yeah, that was pretty heartbreaking for me, too, buddy. Thanks.
You got it, Ryan.
R.I.P. Falcon. They did a good job with Fred Fowler, by the way, this weekend honoring him.
Where at? The get-together?
A couple get-togethers and the actual service they had, I heard, was nice.
Good. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Sam, when was the last time you were sports sad, Sam?
A couple of guys already said it, the 2019 World Series. I will say one thing in that game, in that stadium, the fact that it went so quiet and the whole crowd, the crowd knew that the game was over, it just felt bad. It didn't feel like anyone had faith in the team coming back, which is maybe even worse.
Yeah. Jared says Hinch pulls Grinke, doesn't put in Cole. Friends and I had a funeral for Astros Garrett Cole after. Yeah, I mean, he was a representative of himself at that point.
That pin drop silence in sports,
mm-hmm.
That's the Stockton shot.
Yeah.
Because you're at home.
And then you can hear you can literally hear the opposing team celebrating in
your
house.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, that's tough.
713-780-3776. 0557 says the 15 ALDS against Kansas City. That's an interesting
one
because you've lost two World Series since then and you lost an ALCS against the Rangers. So the last time you were sports sad is interesting, but that was a, Kansas City won the World Series that year.
Yes, they did.
And the Astros had a...
They were
up in the series 2-1, game 4, and they were leading the game by, like, several runs. And they had a rocky inning late in the game, 6-7. I don't remember the exact inning. Tony Sipp was pitching. He had a chance to get out of it with an inning-ending double play, right back up the middle. Looked like it was going to be an inning-ending double play. Like, Sipp, like, barely deflected it, and it ricocheted.
Was it Correa?
And it went under the glove of Correa. Yeah. It kind of changed the plight of the ball. And it went from being like an inning-ending double play, preserved the lead, to Kansas City like put up a huge number, and they would go on to win Game 4, go on to win Game 5. And
people hated Tony Sipp forever after that, too.
They already did.
But now, even more. Because he stuck around for a couple of years, and people were like, ugh.
Yeah, no one really loved Tony Sipp. Like, there's been so many left-handed loogies in Astros history that jump to mind. Like, Tony Sipp's one of them. And then I always, for whatever reason, the guy I always go to is Mike Gallo. He was like,
I remember the name.
He's just on the team because he's left-handed. He had an ERA of like 750, but because he's left-handed, he can have a roster spot on this team. Mike Gallo, Tony Sipp. Before, it took Mike Gallo to walk so Tony Sipp could run. 713-780-3776. When was the last time you were sports sad? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Hallett, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I have two moments. I'm an Auburn fan, so the first moment was the 2013 National Championship when they let Florida State go down the field and win the game in the last minute. And also the 2019 Final Four with the foul call on Kyle Guy where he got to shoot three free throws at the end of the game to win it, and that was probably the saddest moment. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that was
Virginia,
rough.
Right?
Virginia won it. Yep. Yeah, that was the year after they lost to UMBC. They lost to the 16 seed, and then they won the national championship the year after. That foul call, does it influence if it was the right call? Probably not, because you have your fan point of view.
Your emotions are riding on the fact that you think you've got it won.
I don't think the call being right or wrong really. Now, if it's wrong, it probably throws some more fire into it.
Oh, for sure.
But you're still going to feel pretty sad, regardless if it's the right or the wrong call. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 2284, Gas Can Gallo. That's right. I forgot they called him the Gas Can. 713-780-3776. When was the last time you were sports sad? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When was the last time you were sports sad? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 7404, the 05 Pujols homer was gut-wrenching. Only time he said he could hear his feet rounding the bases. I was there loudest to most quiet I've ever experienced.
And most people assume. You and I were talking about during the break. That's one of those two where the minute the ball hit the window, it was like you could have heard a pin drop.
I think what really like set that one apart more than other like walk-off home. That wasn't even a walk-off home run. It was the go-ahead home run in the top of the ninth. Yeah. Was that you could kind of see it coming. You could kind of see it coming. Like, I don't remember the entire inning, but the one that really sticks out to me, because like if Pujols doesn't get up, because there was an opportunity for him to come up, like as the tying run. I can't remember if there was two outs. I want to say there was two outs. And David Eckstein, he was either batting second or first. I can't remember. I think it was Eckstein, Edmonds, Pujols.
Eckstein was their leadoff hitter.
I think it was Eckstein, Edmonds, Pujols. But Eckstein, if you remember, in the top of the ninth, he had this little seeing eye single that was just squirted through the third base shortstop side, right in the hole. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. So you started to see the buildup. I want to say that Jim Edmonds might have walked leading to the Pujols home run. Eckstein seeing eye single. I think Edmonds reached, and then Pujols hit the home run. I'm going to have to pull it up now.
Yeah, because the Rockets had a game that night. So I remember the game was over, and everybody was glued to finding a television, trying to find, you know, the last inning or so of that game. And I remember from the minute it went off, we were playing. Ray Allen was we were playing for Seattle, and Ray Allen was calling from the bench from the bus because they didn't have a TV on the bus, and somehow they couldn't get updates. Huh. And I had to tell him, and he was telling the whole bus. And obviously, depending on if you're a Cardinals fan or not, you heard the reaction. But that was the shot that just made the entire city quiet.
What was crazy, too, was that you were up 3-1. Like, it made it 3-2. Yeah. But what screwed you up was that Roy Oswalt had to pitch game six when no one was beating Roy Oswalt that year. And he couldn't start game one of the World Series, and it kind of threw you for a loop. And I think Clemens got – it was game one or game two. I don't remember. It was in Chicago where he left the game super early. And then Wandy came in, and it was the closest sweep in baseball history. Somebody said the sweep earlier last time you were –
because Blummer hit the home run in, what, the 14th inning? Was it the 14th inning here?
I get the games confused. Blummer hit the one here. Pesednik, I think, hit the walk-off there.
That's right.
He hit the walk-off there.
And Blummer hit the one here, and they lost in 14.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was game one or game two where Pesednik hit the walk-off home run. But the top of the ninth, Astros were leading 4-2 going into the top of the ninth. Brad Lidge struck out John Rodriguez to start the inning. Struck out John Mabry. I remember Mabry, a little pinch hitting lefty. Yep. Struck him out. There was two outs, nobody on. You're up two runs, two outs, nobody on. You're an out away from going to the World Series. And then I did remember it right. Eckstein got the seeing eye single into left field. Jim Edmonds walked. So, like, you had two outs, nobody on. You're up by two runs. You get back-to-back strikeouts. Yeah, we're about to go to the World Series. And it's like, all you have to do is get Devin Eckstein here. All you got to do. And however you get him out. Because you don't want to get the tying run to the plate. And then Eckstein just squirts this little seeing eye single through the hole left side into left field. It's like, oh, great. Now you have the tying run to the plate.
But you still can get out of it if you just pitch to Edmonds.
And it's also like, okay, well, it's only the tying run and you're batting in the bottom of the ninth. So even if they tie it, you have a chance to win. Walk. You got to be kidding me. Mm. Walk. And now the best hitter in baseball is coming up with a chance to take a lead. And he took the lead. Yeah. So that made it even worse. I forgot there was two outs, nobody on. 713-780-3776. When was the last time you were super sports sad? 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Jeff, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
So a couple of mine have been said, but the most recent for me that hasn't been said that I've heard was, I believe it's Super Bowl 34. Grew up, diehard, Oilers fan. Moved to Tennessee. We hadn't got the Texans yet. Was a diehard Titans fan. They were still the Oilers to me. Super Bowl against the Rams, and their hopes died on the 1 yard line. That was, one of the most probably devastating sports moments for me. Just, that was still my Oilers. So that was definitely devastating in that moment.
I like the Titans. I was a Titans fan.
It was still McNair and Eddie George, so you still had the guys that were the holdovers.
Whenever Steve McNair, and you were also young to not really like care about the business side, at least me. Like I was young enough to where I didn't really care about the business side. I think it was in middle school. So like I still wanted to root for Steve McNair, Eddie George. You saw him come up, so you're like, hey, I want to follow these guys, see it through. Frank Wycheck. Once they left, though, even for me, a young Brandon boy, I lost a little bit of interest in the Titans. I wanted them to win. I followed them. I watched their games, but I wasn't like, banging on the table, got to have this game.
How old were you?
I was in middle school.
I was going to say, adults?
Yeah.
I can see the affiliation with those guys alone making them become Titans fans.
Yeah.
You either, it was cut and dried too. You either were going to follow this team to Tennessee and still be a Titans fan, like an Oilers fan, or you were so pissed off that you wanted nothing to do with Titans.
I would have been the latter. If if that were to happen whenever I'm this age, they would be dead to me. I just wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. I would no longer care about them. But because I was younger and didn't really understand the business side of things, it was like, I like these players. I want a team to root for. I'm going to root for them until they're gone. But still, because it didn't say Houston,
right.
It wasn't as significant.
But you can understand just because of the way game played out. I mean, mm-hmm. he's right. I mean, it looks like they're going to get in, and to be come up that short on the last play,
yeah.
What an ending.
I listened to a podcast a couple years ago called Fall of the Titan. It gets into the whole Steve McNair thing. Kind of a conspiracy a little bit on the death of Steve McNair. If you're a McNair fan, I would recommend listening to that podcast. I think it's called Fall of the Titan.
But if you're a McNair fan, does it...
Well, I mean, you like to know the history of a guy, don't you?
I guess.
It depends on who you like, what type of person you are. I like to know history of stuff. I just got done listening to the Ray Lewis podcast, too, where it like does the – I finally finished it, where they, you know, dive into the whole deal.
Was it Super Bowl
in Atlanta? Is that the Super Bowl in Atlanta? That one's called – I think that one's called – I think it's just called The Raven. I think it's just called The Raven. That one's pretty good, too. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Garrick, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Garrick, when was the last time you were sports sad?
I was working for the Rockets for the 07-08 season where we lost Game 7 to Utah Jazz. That was the second year in a row we lost the Jazz Game 7. But this time we had lost at home. And since I was working for the Rockets at the time, I worked for Clutch the Bear. And so after the game, I'd always go talk to the security guard who was in between where the Rockets locker room was and where like the family waiting area was for both teams. And we'd just be hanging out. There is Andre Kirilenko standing, talking to a little fan, like little boy. He's looking around, trying to throw away his water bottle. He started walking towards us, and being the security guard, I walk up to him, grab his water bottle. He then puts his massive hands around mine when I grab that water bottle. And he goes, "I'm so sorry." And then that was also my last game. I worked for the Rockets. So definitely a heartbreak there for me. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
What's that about, Blankers?
I don't know. I remember
the series. Who was the voice?
That was that was the Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, you're hosting Game 7 at home loss.
It might have been the Kirilenko team, right?
No, that's what he's saying. He's saying Kirilenko was the voice. Guy. That's Kirilenko. Okay. AK-47, yeah. So he's saying Kirilenko did that to him. But that was the one where, you thought going back home to host Game 7 with Darren Williams and Boozer, you were going to win that series, and we lost. That was another tough one to take.
That was, that was Yao. Like, that was the early Yao playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers were a few years later.
Yeah, and AK-47 was really good at that time.
Was that the one where Boakye Nokbar pulled down Malone? No, that must have been before.
No, Boakye Nokbar was the one where he ripped his jersey and everything.
But was that before Boakye was in 06-07?
I don't think Boakye ever played. Maybe he played 1 year with Yao.
That's right. He was in the Pinstripes.
Yeah.
So who was that Francis and Mobley when they played Karl Malone that last time in the Pinstripes? And he yanked him down? It had to have been.
It was
Malone and the Lakers. Malone was a Laker. It was the Lakers.
Yeah, this was Darren Williams and Carlos Boozer. Malone wasn't on the Jazz anymore at that time.
Right. I'm trying to place the year when Boakye yanked down Karl Malone. That was whenever Karl Malone was a Laker.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
I'm almost can guarantee you that Boakye Nokbar pulled down Karl Malone whenever he was a Laker. I want to say it was the Francis series, though. Remember Francis hit a big shot and he showed his heart?
Yeah.
I think that was the series. I think it was before they had McGrady.
That might have been the only year Steve made the playoffs.
Was Yao on that team? Yao must have been on that team.
Steve and Yao played together.
Yeah, I know that they did. But yeah. did they make the playoffs together?
Maybe that was the only time Steve made the playoffs was with Yao.
And that was it might have even been a 1-seed, 8-seed, or a 2-seed, 7-seed.
Because then that following year, they traded Mobley, Cato, and Steve Francis for T-Mac.
Yeah.
And then T-Mac and Yao teamed up.
It might have been Francis' last year.
I think
year.
You might be right.
Might have been his last year. 713-780-ESPN.
Someone on the text line said the Game 7 of the 2005 playoffs after you're up 2-0 to the Mavs to start the series and you lose it in Game 7 by like 40.
You lost by 40 in that game.
It was crushed.
I hated that series.
That was awful.
That was the one where, was it Michael Finley? When he touched the ball when he was standing out of bounds?
Sure was.
And they got hosed. Yep. I don't remember how it necessarily influenced the end of the game, but I want to say it was a huge call. It took like a chance for the Rockets to win.
That was the Van Gundy team that had John Barry and Bobby Serra.
What did they call them? The White Boy Super Crew?
Yeah, that was it. That Barry started that on the radio. Paget? With Granato.
Was Paget on that
Scott
team?
Scott Paget? Absolutely he was.
That was the T-Mac dunk over Bradley.
That was the Ride 'em Cowboy, they call it.
The Kevin Harlan. Yeah. He sucked the gravity right out of the arena.
Yep.
You want to do another segment of this? Might as well.
Might as well. We got calls and texts.
713-780-ESPN. When was the last time you were sports sad? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When was the last time you were sports sad? He's Blankers, I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Jared says Texas versus Washington. Man, I thought the Horns were going to do it at the end. That was a... unbelievable game.
Yep.
Like, the Huskies kind of botched the final 2 minutes, gave Texas a chance, then they drove down the field, and it's like, they're going to carry this momentum on their way to a semifinal win into the title game, and then they got the stop at the end. That was, as a Texas, like, I'm not a Texas fan, but I can understand the pain if
Remember
I
at
were.
At the time, that put Michael Penix on everybody's radar he as was maybe unbelievable a guy that was going to be, like, one of the top quarterbacks selected, and that didn't last long.
I fell for it. I thought he was great in that game. I should have known better, though. Texas secondary is not really that good. That was their weakness this year, for sure.
DBU?
They call themselves that?
They used to.
Not this year. They were. That was where you could get them.
Forever and a day, they call themselves that. But
yeah, you could get them in the secondary.
Probably DBU.
They, that's where you had to get them. That's where you had to get them. 3338 says last year versus the Rangers. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Russ! When was the last time you were sports sad?
Yeah, hey, long-time listener, long-time Buffalo Bills fan.
Ooh.
Four straight Super Bowls and the 1999 Stanley Cup Finals with Brett Hall in the crease.
Ooh, Brett Hall in the crease. I don't know enough about hockey to really understand that reference.
He definitely – I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
That was the star – yeah, that was – I think the penalty was called, and it would have been the game, I think. Don't catch me lying.
See, I'm not huge into ring culture. Like, I don't think that you need to win a ring in order to be a success. I'm probably in the minority there. Like, I'm willing to admit that I'm probably in the minority there. So, like, the whole Buffalo Bills stretch, where was it three straight Super Bowls that they lost? Four. That, to me, like, I think that's an unbelievable accomplishment. How many teams in NFL history have went to four straight Super Bowls? Like, I understand that it stinks you didn't win one, but what an accomplishment. Like, very few teams can say that. It would be much better if you got the one, though. If you were 1-3 instead of 0-4.
Right.
Because, I mean, the Braves didn't win a ton of World Series whenever they were going each and every year.
Yeah,
is it only one? I thought it might have been two. But
one out of the eight-year run where they...
But, like, we don't look at the Braves as we look at the Bills because of just the one.
Yeah, and it's a validation that is inexplicable to some degree. But if you don't have one, then you have to just go through the roof with your stats. Like, on the flip side, Eli Manning doesn't have the stats to really be considered for the Hall of Fame. But because of longevity and the two Super Bowl MVPs and the two Super Bowl trophies, people think it's a slam dunk at some point. He's getting in. But you look at the Barkleys and the Ewings and the Stocktons and the Malones, you had to go crazy. When you think about the all-time assist leaders, like Stockton's right there, top two or three, Malone with the points, Barkley with his career, Ewing with his career. But because they don't have one, they never were able to escape that kind of label.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Pod, when is the last time you were sports sad? Pod?
Hey, team, love the show.
Thank you.
Time caller. So the obvious answer is 2019 World Series. But I've heard a lot of people talking about that, so I'll go back a year prior to 2018, Game 4 of the ALCS, when Ben Attendee had that incredible slide to Rob Bregman. Had he not do that, the series is probably 2-2, and who knows, Astros might have been in another World Series.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable catch.
Yeah.
Now that team was cheating its tail off, though. The 18 Red Sox, yeah, they were cheating their tail off. And Mookie Betts said that team was cheating. So I don't know if you're going to overcome all that cheating, but that Benintendi play, that goes down as one of the better defensive plays that has really stung you.
Jim Edmonds is the one.
I don't remember the moment where he had like I remember him making great catches, but I can't think of
one specific catch.
Sure. But was that in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I can't remember the moment.
Oh, that was it was crucial in that series, but
the one that
I don't know that St. Louis won the series, but that was a massive catch.
Yeah, I just don't remember that moment. The Walt Weiss back whenever, I don't remember the year, but it was in the, it was like the Killer Bee era. It was in the Astrodome. The Astros had the winning run at third. Yeah, he was a shortstop for the Braves. Yep. They had the winning run at third, bases loaded, nobody out. I want to say it was Ken Kemena. It might have been Tony Eusebio. I'm confusing on the two. But somebody hit a rocket up the middle. Walt Weiss makes this diving play. Gets up, throws the runner out at the plate. And I think they turned two on that play, too. Get out of the inning. Astros had the bases loaded, nobody out, winning run at third, did not score, and the Walt Weiss infield in, diving play up the middle, saved the whole thing. I still have nightmares about that play. 713-780-3776. Last time you were sports sad. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Thomas, you're in the Hive. When was the last time you were sports sad?
For me, it's got to be 2015, Game 6, Damian Lillard hits the shot of his life, ripped the heart out of the Houston Rockets, and sent him home. That I was sick to my stomach watching that live. I thought we had that game. We could have gone seven. And if we'd have won that series, we'd have played San Antonio, which that year we swept them throughout the season. So it could have been a good matchup. But, yeah, Damian Lillard ripped in the hearts out of the Houston Rockets.
Appreciate the call, Thomas. The issue that I have with that one was that it was in the first round.
Yeah, it's hard to say that they would have done this or would have done that in the first round, right? If you're like a play away from getting to the finals or a World Series or something like that, it's different. Look, I was there. I mean, I know how, we talked about it earlier. But that was also a team that let LaMarcus Aldridge light them up for 40-plus in the first two games of the series.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Rockets were Teflon, and they, if they win that series, how far they would have gone.
It was also Game 6.
Right. We knew we would. But remember, Chandler Parsons went backdoor, had a reverse layup with like 1.2,
mm-hmm.
and we're thinking, okay, Game 7 at our place.
Yeah.
Something we've been there and done that in the past with the Clippers. We can do this.
Look, obviously, sports sad. I just don't know if I have it as my contenders. First round, Game 6. How far do you go? Bunch of what ifs. And to Thomas's point, you play the Spurs the next round. Spurs would go on to win the NBA Finals that year. So maybe, you know, maybe. That's the one thing that kind of annoys me with the 35-3. Now, the 35-3 significance is you blew the biggest lead in playoff history. But people make it seem like the Oilers were going to go to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah,
they were on the road the wild card round. Like, what gives you that belief? 713-780-3776.
The Edmonds catch was Game 7, 2004 against the Cardinals, but I don't remember. I have to look up who won. But I believe they had either bases loaded. They had first and second, and Edmonds saves the game with that catch. Now that was the game Clemens pitched.
I don't remember that Game 7 very well. I remember that was the Game 5 where NLCS Jeff Kent hit the walk off home run, and when he was crossing the plate, he said, "You know, one more." I remember the catches you showed it, but I wouldn't have told you that was in a Game 7. I didn't realize that was Game 7. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Earl, you're in the Hive. When was the last time you were sports sad?
Well, I have two for you guys.
All right.
I'm kind of old school, so the first one was the catch with the Oilers on the way to the Super Bowl. And because they didn't have video replay when they showed his foot was inbound, they called him out of bounds.
Was that Renfro?
Yep. Yep, that was Renfro play. Yep.
And the second one, I think the Astros was on the verge of going to the World Series. I think they were playing in the Astrodome. They was leading. I think Joe Morgan was playing second base, and he was hot that day. And I think the latter part of the year, I mean, this game, they pulled him out.
They pulled him out.
And we lost.
I don't remember that one at all.
Out of the game.
It was in the Astrodome. Joe Morgan was playing second base. And they pulled him out. I don't know why the manager pulled him out. They pulled him out, and he was hot that day.
That's crazy. I don't know that story at all. If any of our texters can help us out, 713-780-3776.
2004 NLCS, the Cardinals won 5-2, and that catch Edmonds made, there were at least two runners on that would have potentially put the Astros back in the game.
I don't know what year Joe Morgan would have. I don't think they've made
had
the
to be
playoffs.
Like late 60s?
Morgan's last year with the Astros was 71. He played with the Astros from 63 to 71.
I was going to say, late 60s, were they good?
I don't think the Astros made the playoffs from 63 to 71. The first time they made the playoffs was 1980.
So that couldn't, yeah.
Maybe they were on the cusp of being in the playoffs. Maybe it was a regular season game, something like that. I don't think that even, like the Astros, while Joe Morgan was here, they never finished better than fourth in their division. So I don't know about that one, Earl. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Dominic, you're in the Hive. When was the last time you were sports sad?
I don't know if this fits the criteria, but when I got that alert on my ESPN app that DeAndre Hopkins had been traded.
Yeah, appreciate it. See, to me it was more about the return. I didn't like the return.
I think a lot of people feel like he did, though.
For sure.
That he's arguably the best receiver in football, and you traded him away?
Yeah. That was the same offseason that Diggs got traded. Like,
right.
The problem was the return. Like, you can make the case that trading your top receiver is the way to go. It worked out for Minnesota. It's worked out for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have Mahomes. Texans had Deshaun, though. They thought he was going to be Mahomes.
But so many people saw what happened against Kansas City, and as devastating as it was, saw that next year was going to be their year then. And so they were just banking on, we're coming back, we still have Deshaun, we have D-Hop, you know, we're going to get a couple of pieces here and there, we're going to be right back. And then all of a sudden, he just pulled the plug out.
That one was definitely a blindside, too. It's like, oh, you just been punched in the face by Hopkins getting traded when you're supposed to be a contender and you're supposed to be close to being an NBA or an NFL title team. Back out to the HRNP listener line. Ant, you're in the Hive. When was the last time you were sports side?
Hey, guys, long-time listener. I've always been a big fan of the local sports teams, pro teams, college teams. But from time to time, I've rooted for other teams in Texas, and I had an admiration for the Duncan, Ginobili, Parker Spurs, and the 2013-14 NBA Finals Game 6 when Allen, hit that dagger three. They were just about to win the finals. You know, a lot of teams would have folded for Game 7. They actually competed in Game 7, lost in the last few minutes. So that was one that kind of stuck in my head for the Spurs when they lost to the Heat.
Yeah, if you're a Spurs fan, that one's out there.
I was at that game. I was working for the NBA, and it was amazing. They were going to riot outside. So many Miami fans left thinking that game was over. And then Allen hits the shot, and everybody was trying to bowl over the security guards, trying to get back into the arena. That was crazy.
I watched that one down the hall. I was doing sports updates on Yahoo Sports Radio that night. Yeah.
A lot of people thought he traveled. I looked at the replay multiple times. I never thought that he traveled.
I guess you could say
it's close because he did step back. But, boy, that was – talk about just a complete gut punch. That was big.
So thanks to Ashley for tweeting this. Today I learned Joe Morgan came back in 1980, and that was the first year the Astros made the playoffs. So that's what he was talking about. That's our bad. We were wrong about that.
So he played through 70-something, and then he came back for the Rainbow jersey?
He was with the Astros from 63 to 71. He went to the Big Red Machine for his best year, 72 to 79. He came back for 1 year with the Astros in 1980.
And did they make the playoffs?
That was the first year they made the playoffs in franchise history. So I stand corrected. My bad. He was right. Huh. So that was the year he's talking about. And they lost.
Was that Philly series that was big?
Lost in five. It was a 5-game series.
Right.
And they lost in five to Philly. So that's what he was talking about. I don't remember that game. Remember the turn of events or whatever about that one. I'll have to do some deep diving.
R.I.P. Joe Morgan. He was one of the greatest second basemen to play.
The Astros have had great second basemen in their history. Probably better than anybody. Altuve, Biggio, Morgan.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent.
That's pretty good. Jeff Kent was pretty darn good for a while.
There's probably a fifth I'm not even thinking about. But no, I would say nobody stacks up with what the Astros had at second
base. Jeff Kent's stats might be Hall of Fame worthy.
His offensive stats are insane.
Yeah, but his attitude and his personality and disposition that a lot of people think are keeping him out.
Had a killer mustache, though. All right, one more. Jacob, what was the last time you were sports sat?
Tough on a dirt bike.
I'm just now tuning in. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this. I got two. One was the game six against the Blazers when Dame Lillard hit that three. And I think if we go back to game seven in Houston, I think the Rockets would have pulled off that 3-0 comeback. And then the other would be the 2015 ALDS against the Royals whenever it was game four. I believe we were up 6-2 going to the seventh, something like that. And Correa had a crucial error at short. Extended the game, and Colby Rasmus was on fire that year, but that was my two. I'll just hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Jacob. Yeah, those two came up. That's all right. You just tuned in.
That's right, Jacob. Now you know you need to tune in for longer periods of time.
9362 said they pulled Nolan Ryan early in that game too. I'm gonna go learn some stuff about that 1980 series now that it's been brought up. The most popular one on the text line that didn't come up from the callers was the Kevin Brown 98 series against the Astros.
The Padres, the Astros, yeah.
Whenever they had Randy Johnson.
Yeah,
that was unbelievable. Well, Astros
was,
team.
Kevin Brown was, that year, he had the whole world eaten out of his hand. He was lights out.
Johnson was better.
He was
not in the series.
11-1 as an Astro.
Yeah, Randy Johnson with an Astro was unbelievable. That was pretty devastating, too. All right, what are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-37. Somebody said whenever ESPN discontinued the wheelhouse. 713-7. I appreciate the
we had
joke.
Two Jets fans say four plays into last season.
Yeah, that one's up there for Jets fans, too. 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? What is our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a moment before we go to the break for Doc Linville. Look, guys, I'm just going to keep it real with you. If you're losing your hair, you got pattern baldness, thinning, balding, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you've just kind of relented and said, I'm going to shave it off. I'm not going to try the sprays and the creams and the foams. I got a solution for you, and it legit is a solution. It's taking your own hair where you're never going to lose it. And I was told by Doc Linville and his staff this when I had a consultation with him. Genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. He takes some of that hair, he puts it where you need it most, and in no time at all, you see the results. Because he's taking it from a spot that it's never going away, it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. It's going to get stronger, longer, thicker. You're going to be so happy because you're going to get self-confidence back again because you're going to like the way you look. It's real simple, and as a listener to our station, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville and his staff that normally costs $150 just by going to 975hair.com. You go to 975hair.com, you set up the consultation, no money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, just you asking questions, getting answers, having them explain to you what the procedure is. I did it. Granato did it. So many others have done it. And everybody that I talk to is so happy that they did. I'm living proof. I got the procedure done. I could not be happier with the hair that I got back and the overall look and coverage area that I have now. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell them I sent you by Doc Linville, best in the business at the Neograft.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are you nominating for our car wreck of the day? Glenn Davis, by the way, Soccer Matters, coming up at the top of the hour. He's up for a fight today, too.
Fighting, yeah.
I hope that he tries to sell himself on that fight. This reminds me, I need to send out that. Oh, he's fighting Lance Erline today in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Do you think he leads off with that today? Or do you think he talks
about
soccer?
He leads off with it, but I think that if the people that follow him with Soccer Matters follow him into this vote, he can win.
I'm hoping that instead of soccer mattering today, the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket will matter today.
Remember, he upset in round one because of the fact that his people got behind.
Was that an upset over Brian LaMuscle?
I thought so.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, if he's only got one wheel and he's a soccer player.
Yeah, but no one knows about that, really.
Well, I told people about that.
Yeah, but if you see it on a Twitter vote, you probably don't know that Glenn's hurt.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day?
I got a couple. The first one that comes to mind. How in the world does the NCAA have tournament games in Portland for the women in which one three-point line was 9 inches off the other line?
Well, you know.
I mean,
I care more about personality.
I get it, but five games took place, I think it was, in which one of the three-point lines was grossly off in terms of the measurements.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that happens.
And they got to play tonight, so they're trying to repaint the floor before tonight's game.
Apparently, that's going to happen, right?
I guess they're.
I know that they said that the plans were there was going to be fixed before.
I hope it's not like some wonky decal or something like that.
I don't really care that much.
I mean, I know you don't, but I think a lot of people do. I think the teams involved care.
I'm curious how that happens, though. Like the logistics of how that happens. Yeah, I couldn't tell from, like, people posted on Twitter and be like, you can obviously tell. And I was like, I can't tell. Like, I trust that it is off.
You know how
they
you can
measured
tell?
It.
When you look from the very top of the key to the edge of the 3-point line, there was a difference between the spaces.
I tried to do that. I couldn't tell.
I could see it.
I couldn't. I was on my phone, though. Maybe that was the difference.
But how bad of a look is it for guys with their shoes to be marching off the distance?
What are they doing?
How about a tape measure?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too. They're, like, walking it off, like, they're going to be able to tell because of the size of their shoe. I'm going to nominate Rashee Rice.
Yep.
They left that car 20 seconds after a high-speed collision. That's the fastest I've ever seen somebody exit a vehicle that has been in a high-rec collision.
Like backpacks.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Like,
to
you
me.
Had your stuff already on, your backpack was on, and you were driving with that or hanging out, and all of a sudden your backpack's on, you're walking away.
And you notice that they all got out from the non-driver side?
Yep.
Like, they had a plan.
Yeah.
How do you do all of that in 20 seconds? How in 20, like, I'm not talking about 20 seconds stopped.
Right.
I'm talking from the moment that car hit the car that was slowing them down in front of them, 20 seconds from collision, they were out of the car. How do you build a game plan from impact to 20 seconds to where you're all getting out of the passenger side and you're grabbing bags and you're getting out of there?
And then you're AWOL, and then you finally
Unreal.
Turn yourself in.
This is a weird deal.
I wonder what the punishment's going to be.
I don't know, because you can't prove that he's driving.
Unless they went through like a toll booth or something where there was a picture.
I think they were on a tollway.
So it's possible.
Those Dallas roads, they have tollways everywhere. Yeah, maybe. Like, if they can put him as the driver, I think he's going to be in deep trouble. If he's not the driver, though, I don't know.
What was the significance of the injuries to the other people?
I think they were pretty lucky. I think it was pretty minor.
I didn't hear that it was anything major, but nonetheless, that's unbelievable that you do that.
That was
skip the scene.
That was so weird. Yeah, so I'm thinking something else is going on. Because if you're getting to that accident, you're not just leaving, I don't think.
Well, you might. Your first year in the NFL and you figure your whole career and your whole life might be over.
I think there had to be something else.
Because you don't know the significance of whatever happened to the other cars. And one of the other cars at least went on its side.
I don't know. I don't think I didn't see a car on its side. At least in the video I saw, there wasn't.
Okay, I thought that there was one that kind of...
Yeah, maybe. But still, I mean, somebody's recording you. What else you got?
Wasn't that the one guy that said, like, are you was filming him saying, are you actually leaving the scene?
Yeah, the guy's like, hey, how are you guys? Like, my ribs. We're good. My ribs. You guys leaving? And then they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys leaving it there?
Greek Basketball Club, Paok, P-A-O-K. They're signing Kevin Porter Jr.
They want to win.
Oh, do they?
They do.
In the worst way, evidently.
They want to win.
Jeez.
They want to win. Yeah, what is it, $10,000 for the rest of the year? That's what the figures, numbers were. I don't know how many games they have left on their year. Have you ever heard of Greek Club Paok before today?
Oh, Pathianakis.
Is that who it is?
No, that's the one that everybody knows.
I don't know that.
That's their elite Greek team.
Yeah.
Pathianakis.
Yeah.
A lot of the NBA players have played there before they play in the league.
I wonder if he's going to lead them to victory or anything.
I would also nominate Jellybean Joe Bryant.
What happened?
Kobe, when they won the title, had a exact championship ring made for his dad, and his dad sold it.
Maybe he's broke.
It's a terrible thing to do.
I mean, if you're broke, you got to make money any way you can.
I don't think Joe Bryant's broke.
I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's broke. You going to watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese?
I am. Both games are intriguing to me.
What's the other one?
UConn USC with Juju versus Bukers.
Yeah.
Juju
Smith-Schuster's playing basketball now?
No. Let's try.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to A-Rod doing the hard work. A-Rod's got a shot at this show. He's got a chance to be the full-time guy. Thanks for all the hard work, Austin. Hope to see you. He'll be back tomorrow.
He's getting another audition there before the end of the show.
He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.